TeePeatBeat.com.
I'm going hard for my God like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, say bye-bye to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. When I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus is excited. Cause I'm about to grind for him, grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like Dietrich Haller, have your way however you choose to. Just that you will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with his
man. I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can go no longer go, living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew how I got down. Probably seen me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably seen me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had that I ought to pray. I ain't worried no more, I tell you I ain't stressing. Man, it's power that I found in God, I tell you it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man, man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man, man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan, but I still rock bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said come as you are, he love me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart, and since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me, make me change my mind. Too many youth has left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that supposed to teach us all that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing, growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving, my blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving, I'm living for his purpose. Giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus too. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
Christ, who is the head of my life, amen, to, amen, the Lord God, Creator Jehovah, his blessed Son, Jesus Christ, the blessed Holy Ghost, amen, hallelujah, giving our amen to Pastor O, my producer, amen, and all the saints and friends throughout the world, I say praise the Lord and welcome to another exciting training day, amen, amen, evidence that God can do what he said he can, amen. If you don't, because you're not dead, that don't mean Satan didn't try to kill you. I mean, we on the air. It ain't like Satan trying to stop us. And I find it interesting that, you know, last week I couldn't do the video portion. I do a simulcast. I do a video and a radio broadcast at the same time that's on the internet. Last time my brother, I talked to him, he said that time he had 128,000 people. You know, I do not at all take this lightly. If it's just 10 people, one people, you know, to be able to share the word of God, that's a tremendous responsibility. And I, you know, I have sadly had the experience of being set still by God because I did take it lightly, you know. And that is still on the topic of the subject. We're talking about spiritual warfare, which is the way of life for a Christian, but a specific area, pride, you know. And, you know, and the Bible has nothing good to say about pride, amen, because pride indicates that God is not ruling your life. And now, more than ever, is it more critical to be led of the Lord, because your life, your eternity is at stake. You're going to live forever. You may not believe it, but you are going to live forever. You're going to be here until God either releases you or call you home, depending on the situation. But let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to come before your throne. We thank you, Jesus, for purchasing this right for us by the shedding of your own blood, by setting an example of obedience and not letting pride rule your heart. And Father God, we're asking right now that you would bless my tongue, bless each and every one of us with the spirit of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened more, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling and the riches of your glory and the inheritance that you have in us, the saints, the great and exceeding power that you have made available for those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking that you would strengthen with might those that are going through bereavement, yet still, amen. I thank you, Lord, that you would remember each and every family. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember the Renfro family, amen, as they have to deal with these challenges, and amen, and the Leslies. Bless them, Lord, as only you can. You're the only healer of the broken heart. Father God, we're asking right now that you would give us the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we can be fruitful in every good work that is acceptable to you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father, I ask right now that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people. I want it to be all of you and none of me, and I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. You know, that right there, prayer, is indicative of submission to God. And it's amazing the percentages of people that don't, and not realizing that God doesn't do anything in the earth unless he does it through man. That's part of his plan, because all of life is about the shaping and molding of us for preparation for his eternal kingdom throughout the universe. We think, you know, it didn't take Satan long to make this into a religion. And religion, really, if you look at religious folk, there is something, they might appear to be totally committed to God. But when you really dig deep into it, you find out they aren't. And the only way you can do that is to know what God's word says versus what they do. Now, in many of the cases, their intentions are good. Their actions, you know, their kindness that they show people and their reserve that they have. But, you know, in Christianity, we shouldn't have a story being told 15 different ways. It should be the same story that's in the Bible. Like, for instance, how a person becomes saved. There shouldn't be in the Bible, things that we would commonly, the ordinances that I practice, like say water baptism, is an event that can only occur after a person has made a commitment to Christ. Okay? Not before. You cannot get water baptized to come into the body of Christ. That doesn't make you a member of the body of Christ. You will not find that in Scripture. Matter of fact, what you will find, it will say, is an answer of a good conscience toward God. It's a revelation of an inward work that began with God. And so you're demonstrating outwardly. Different things, like I say, you can't do it. Like prayer. Anybody, a lot of people, they think they can pray. You know, they pray. But, you know, when it comes down to it, according to the Bible, God can only answer prayers of those who he have a covenant with. Now, there's a lot that you have to understand about a covenant. I'm not teaching on that today. But the issue here, the reason I'm relating this is because all this came because of pride. You know, we read last week, Proverbs, I believe, chapter 6, it said, pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, there's a book. When I started out in ministry, that we were told to read, and it's called Fox Book of Martyrs. And that book picks up where the Bible ends, and it fills in a historical gap for 1,500 years. And in there, you see where Satan quickly began to provide or instruct them in how to be religious in Christianity. There's a lot of discussion over that issue, a lot of confusion over that issue. But one thing about it is also in that book you will find men that did what God said, how he said, the best they could. Because you'll find, like, there's this one particular pastor named Albie, and they named his people the Albigenses. They actually went to war. Now, I'm not knocking the Catholic Church. This was 2,000 years ago, 1,700 years ago. And even though they still kind of got issues now, but the fact of the matter is we in the body of Christ of maturity pray for all members of the body of Christ. We let God gonna settle, the rapture gonna settle a whole lot of issues as who's what and what and what. But if we are required to love. And that's the main thing about pride. Where there's pride, there's no love. Love will, as it says, love will cover a multitude of sin, of faults. It will. God did it. We got saved because he loved us. I didn't get saved because I was super right. I wasn't even halfway right. I wasn't even tenth right. I didn't even deserve to be saved. I mean, come on now. Let's be real here. You know, that's why it's called saved. We was in trouble. You're in trouble. And that's the thing that prevents people from getting saved. Pride stops people from getting saved. So I want to review some things on that issue so in case there's somebody new that have a clue what we're talking about. Again, like I said, we are talking about spiritual warfare. In other words, you have to engage Satan and demons who challenge your mind to do what they think, what is against the will of God. Now, what is the will of God? It is the Word of God. It is intently expressed. You know, one of the things I've learned that there's a lot of challenges about, you know, I hear these debates over how the Bible was changed over the years. One thing has never changed. Sin is still sin. God is still God. Jesus is the only Savior. You know, they argue over minute details, which the Bible, if you read it in Titus chapter 3, I think 3:9, tell you, don't do that. Don't debate. After I read that, I quit. I used to argue and try to, you can't convince anybody of anything. If God don't change their heart, you can't do nothing. That's why, and your prayer is ineffective. See, when you debate with somebody, what's driving that? Pride. See, pride is, Satan got that thing whipped up. He figured this out long. He figured it out so much so that's what caused the flood. That's what he did. That's what he caused. And that's why it's such a critical issue. And I've seen how challenging this particular segment has been with technical issues one way or the other. You know, because Satan don't want, he knows, see, if it only affects one person, with God, that's important. Paul was only one person, but he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. You know, we're going to talk about some people that today, last time we talked about a man named Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a king, and he was going to die, and he didn't want to die. I don't, you know, in his time, I could understand it. He didn't have the Bible. He didn't know the end of the story. He didn't know what happened, and they wasn't really publishing that type of information like they do now. We know what happened when you die. God, I recently, yesterday, listened to a testimony of a man who was dead for an hour and a half. Amen. And this is certified by doctors, by a hospital, you know. You know, he spent an hour and a half on the other side. So, you know, and there's been many encounters. I expect more, you know, encounters like that. Because God is that loving. He's closing all the gaps. He's like, I'm killing all the excuses. All right. So, this one scripture I want to go to is in Proverbs. Proverbs. Ah, man, it's just so much in there. Let's see, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, okay, where it says one of the things, it says 16, it says, these six things does the Lord hate, yea, even seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed blood, innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. I saw a lot of discord during the time of the election, and it was sad because that's dangerous. That is dangerous. See, this is the thing. Okay. Understand the reason behind this, that I want you to be able to, what's critical now is being able to have the favor of God and the protection of God. If operating in pride is when you're operating for the most part outside of the word of God, which is the will of God, which is what your life is about. You're supposed to be constantly trying to learn to be like Jesus. It's in Philippians chapter 2, you know, let this mind be in you. Christ, he had full power. He had more power than he had faith without measure. He had the spirit without measure. But he placed himself in the servant's role. He didn't come. He came from heaven to earth. He wasn't trying to go from heaven, earth to heaven. So he came. And people, pride stop people. They don't even stop and think what they're arguing about when they're arguing about, is Jesus God? It's not about is he not. He has the authority. When I was working in law enforcement, I am not the state of Michigan. I am not the county of Wayne. I am not the city of Detroit. I am Richard Overall, okay? But when I had on my uniform and my badge, you had to respect that or suffer the consequences. And it didn't matter. Now, the state as it ought, if you looked on the pictures, much bigger than I am. But people recognize the authority. That's what the Bible called Jesus, the express image. When a person don't know who he is, guess what it is that stops them from knowing? Pride. How did I get to know get to know Jesus and what is going on? I put that thing aside. Pride is submission. The opposite of pride, another opposite of pride, is submission. I'm like, okay. You can't argue with certain realities. Stars in the heaven, the ocean, airs in the earth. Food is here. You eat food, and it does something supernatural. You know, I mean, it breaks down into these particles a millionth of an inch and go to the specific cell that's necessary. You know, that's kind of foolish to think that all happened by accident. And what makes you that foolish? Spirit of pride. That's one of Satan's gang members, okay, just in case you ain't figured it out, okay? Intellectual beings that affect your intellect are spiritual beings. See, because you can't see them, you don't think they exist. But they just whisper in your ear, you know? Trying to think of an incident in the Bible where that was going on. But anyway, I know in Zechariah, I believe, chapter 4, where it says Zechariah the high priest stood before the Lord and Satan at his right side ready to resist. And all he do is talk, you know? I mean, if you go back and I believe you look in the book of what Jesus was challenged at, Satan just talk. He talks stuff. He can't do nothing. If he could do stuff, he'd be done it. We'd all be dead. Believe me. He's got issues, serious issues. And see, and that's his what do they call that? That's his sign. That's his revelation of him. Because we read last time again how Isaiah chapter 14, I believe around verse 12 through 15, he exposed himself. He repeatedly say, "I will be like the Most High." And this is what you see with people. And then they get a little money, and they really think they have a ride. You know what, money, you know what? There's a reality about money. It's a figment of our imagination. We decide its value. In and of itself, it really has none. Be on an island somewhere where there's no food and you got a suitcase full of money. You give up $1 million for a can of pork and beans, believe me. All right? So let's visit another scripture here. In Proverbs chapter 16, well, that's the key one. Says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit. That's a haughty spirit. It's just that. It can't nobody, you meet one of them people that you can't tell anything. They got all the answers. You know, I had a sad experience a couple of months ago. I was just testing the Uber waters. And I went out to the airport because I figured the airlines had so many restrictions on people that it was least likely that I would contract, what's that thing, Corona, and give it to somebody else. I wasn't worried about me. I wasn't worried about me because I believe what I say, and I believe the word, what it says. You know, I believe in the covenant. I believe in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes Jesus paid for my healing. So I ain't worried about that. You know, that's true. But now, even with that, again, I have a list of 7 things that cause prayer to fail. And in that list, all of them come back to the issue of pride. They do. I mean, it's connected to everything. And this is what pastors preach about every week. How to avoid those entrapments set up by Satan. I mean, they're all connected to that. You know, one of the 7 is be in pursuit of the will of God. Be in pursuit. Remember I said the will of God is what? The word of God. So in a situation where I'm challenged, I'm going to let the word move. Let me get on because I don't want to miss one particular area. You know what area where pride has done a lot of damage is marriages. And the thing about marriages is that it's designed to teach you how to walk in love. Now, you know, it's really interesting. I was in a discussion with somebody, and I was talking about how 1 Corinthians chapter 13, or how agape love doesn't mention emotion. And they had read that, and they I know I could see on their face when we read it, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, that it mentions nothing about emotion. It mentions nothing about your benefit. Because let me give you the formula here. God, when you receive Jesus Christ, the Christ part, the God part, that's the part, the Holy Spirit, that's love. That's the spirit of love, of God. Now, you know, so God has given you this, what is it, immeasurable amount of love, and you are challenged in certain situations to give it. And what better situation than marriage? kids really understand that. Kids, you know, they give you a revelation. Kids help me see how God see me. Because your kids, your children are your children, no matter what. You know, you just love your children. And there's something damaged in a person that don't love their children. And I've seen some recently, and I'm like, you know, and it's sad. And even then, even those people, you know, God has had me minister to people that showed complete hatred to the children. And believe me, that took a big dose of love to do that. That's the mission. But we're about, this is, again, go back to the foundation of training day, 1 John 3:2, although it does not yet appear, when we see him, we shall be as he is. We don't know how to do that in every situation. You go back and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and look what Jesus had to deal with them religious folk. And even the non-religious folk, he had to be, and he had to stay on course that I am here to save them. And they wasn't even trying to hear it. They just, you know, they hung around him because they wanted food. You know, when there wasn't no food, it's like kill him, you know. So, I mean, and yet, you know, he stood up there on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And people think he was just a good guy. No, Jesus was hypostasis, one of them two. In other words, he was total God, total man. Let me get y'all, for the new people, you have to understand this part about God. He's omnipresent. Okay, his physical presence, if you can get in a spaceship and travel 250 light years from here, okay, you could not just be out of the presence of God. Not just his mind, but his physical presence. So it's no way for you to be able to see a physical without him creating an image. He's trying to get us to understand these things by our own existence. You go back and read, sit there and read Genesis 2:7 and ponder it. Dirt. Go outside and get some dirt and then breathe on it and see what happens. I mean, ain't nothing gonna happen, but look in the mirror. That you are what happened when he breathed on it. And it's a continuity to that. Look at a piece. I looked at a sperm a couple of weeks ago, and then you look at the result when you look in the mirror. The sperm don't have no bones, no heart, no lungs, no liver, no pancreas, and all the many organs, and their ability to do exactly what they do. They didn't come with no, that ain't no Lego toy set with instructions. That comes from a tremendous amount of intellectual capability. You think it's something magical when you eat a sandwich and it go down and it feeds the part of your body that needs to be fed and then get rid of the rest? You think that's an accident? How did they come up with that part? Okay. So I'm saying all this because if you letting pride rule and you got to be conscious of it, and the only way you're going to be conscious of it is to know the word of God, which is going to be the opposite of it. To be able to show that agape love, okay? So, like I said, and it's challenging, particularly in this day and age. I came in, I would say, in the middle of the change. The change is my mother's generation, for the most part, and going back, they didn't let women into the workforce like they are now. You would never have seen a CEO of a major corporation, a female. That wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't even seen them. It wouldn't have been the CEO of a family business. Unless the father died, and then in most cases she would remarry just for that particular reason, to have a man at the head. So women weren't allowed to do all those things, all right? Even though that ain't in what the Bible said. There were 13 female leaders in the Bible, and everybody seemed to know the one, and that's Jezebel, because she was corrupt as all get out. They don't even know Deborah. I'm doing research on Deborah. She's my girl, really. Amen. That's another whole issue. Pray for me on that issue. but she was a judge of Israel. She ran Israel, okay? And she was a prophetess. There ain't no women. God ain't calling no women to the ministry. Well, look up the word prophetess in the Bible. It was a prophetess that greeted Jesus before he became, listen, as soon as he got it out of the womb, okay? God called him. Argue with God over the issue. I don't even get that foolishness. But and it's in the Bible. I read the same Bible. I don't know why these men have, again, what make them believe that goof? Pride. I'm the man of the house. Listen, women, intelligent women, will follow a strong leader. She won't follow an idiot. That just speaks for itself, okay? That's just all it is. And some of them are. And if they don't, even when they, if they do have a strong man and they don't, then they, you know what that is. They the idiot. See, again, that's the same thing. Because pride will prevent you from being submissive to God. Okay? You got, like I said, pride got to, you got to get that up when you get married. You got to get that up in family. Because there's a lot of things you have to learn. You know, what it is you think about it. See, one of the problems have been throughout history is we were never really taught, in most cases, all the details necessary for manhood and womanhood, unless somebody sat down and taught you from the Bible. It's really ironic. The Amish and the Puritans, they were right on to that. That was critical. Even though they had some things, they still have some things that's kind of challenging. Like, they don't have cars because they ain't in the Bible. I'm like, okay, toilets ain't in the Bible. They don't have those either, so I can't go there. But they don't even want to, you know, that's again, I would ask God, Lord, can I have a toilet, you know, with running water? You know, I mean, can I have electricity? You know, can I have a Cadillac? You know, I got the money. You know, there's some good and some bad. But again, now, like I said, I don't argue with people. I ain't trying to change people. If you're interested in visiting some Amish, if you don't want to go to Pennsylvania, some in Standish, Michigan, depending on where you go. But see, all this is, you know, where we at on time. Okay. So we've been talking about, like I said, the issue. I want to look at a particular character that had issues. This was King Saul. And Saul, okay, like with most people, Saul's problem was, like you see a lot of times, look at what we do in society. We create prideism. Okay, we had this place called Hollywood. I'm not going to say what I think about that. But anyway, they create little G's, gods, for people to worship. And people are extreme about it, too. I mean, to the point that I never understood that at all. Even before I became a Christian, I remember going to a concert and watching the women scream over a dude that they didn't even know what he was about. They didn't even know what life was about. And they're just hollering and screaming, you know, and why? And then they go to church and sit and be quiet. Now, you're talking about the person that has your life in their hand, you're going to be quiet on, and then call people emotional when they praise a God that you don't know. That's what the issue is. Because if you know God, you're going to praise God. But anyway, let's talk about Saul. Saul came on the picture right now. He came into the picture at the time before he became king. Israel did not have a king. They had prophets of God, and they were the leaders. They ran everything, politics. There was no separation, ain't no such thing as separation of church and state. The government lies about that. If it was, the government wouldn't be giving out licenses for marriage. That would only happen through the church. Okay, they want that fee, and that's all they care about. They don't have a marriage book. They don't have a rule book. So, you know, they've been in God's business, but they want to profit from God. They want to tax God. That's why the economy is about to collapse anyway. It was due to come. All right, but so the situation here, so the process is Saul became king. God, the children of Israel said, we want a king. And that was because the prophet's son, Eli and Samuel, was clowning so bad, the children of Israel got tired of that. All right, so God gave him a king, and his first choice was Saul. Saul was typical. You know, it's classical in a lot of societies, even today, throughout history. When they select a person to be king, they will select the most beautiful one. There's been situation when the elder did not look as beautiful as the younger, so they would actually either lock the elder away. The oldest, typically, succession would be the oldest member of the family. But if the second oldest was more handsome, they used that impression of the beauty to use it to impress the people. And I mean, there's some horror stories and stupid stuff that went on behind that, all right? All kind of stuff, all right. And that wasn't why Saul was chosen, because God chose him, okay? Even though he was taller than the average Israelite, by the Bible say he had shoulders, which would have made him on an average about 6'4". And he was a handsome guy, all right? So here's the situation. They get ready to go to battle. Now, in First Samuel chapter 13, and let's see. I want to see what the order is here. Give me a minute here. Bottom line is, you got to go back. Let's go back to I want you to get the order so you had a picture here. Now, chapter 10, verse 8. Now, they're getting ready to go down typically. And this is something, you know, one of my favorite movies is Patton. It's about General George Patton. I can't even think of the actor's name, but anyway, did a great job on it. And Patton would have the what they call a chaplain, write him a prayer, you know, to pray. And that's one of the reasons why I admired him. See, and that's one of the things, when you're a leader that great, but yet you will kneel before God, that says something about the greatness in you. See, a great man will always yield to God. If you can't yield to God, you're not great. I was saying last week on another issue with another location that you're not successful if you die and go to hell. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what you own. If you end up in hell, you fail. Because life, the eternal life is what determines success, not how much junk. And the dope man got junk. These got junk. That don't mean nothing. You got a bunch of stuff. You know, they work hard. These thieves work harder than some people at a job. They just working the wrong thing. But anyway, they're going before, go to war. And so they, naturally, the process was the king would go to the prophet would go to God, and before they go, they'd know whether or not they was going to either should go to war or not. And so that's, you know, typically how it was done back then. All right. So here you got the situation, and Samuel is giving Saul instructions. He said, go down, and this is in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 8. He said, go down ahead of me to Gilgal, and I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings. You have to go back and read the Old Testament and give a step about. Bottom line is you're going to present before God, okay? Burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, but you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do. Now, this is the other thing. Everybody wasn't supposed to put their hands on that. Moses' nephews, Nadab and Abihu, I believe. Anyway, they were legitimate priests, and they I guess they wanted to go out because, you know, they had a Sabbath day, which means Friday night at sundown to Saturday night at sundown. They had to be still. There wasn't no partying going on. So I don't know. The way the priests worked, they worked 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They was always making offerings, because people was always sinning, naturally. Okay. All right. But, so I guess they decided that it's just religion. We can just do what we want. I really wish God was as he was then. That was a good case of pride, anyway. But they knew specifically what they were to do and what they were not supposed to do, but they did it anyhow. So when they presented, they created their little fake offering. Soon as they lit it, fire dropped out of heaven and burned them both alive, fried and died. See, when God give you instructions, you, I suppose, one of the lessons I have learned, amen, that stuck with me, that my pastor drilled in us, do what God say, how he say, when he say. And that this is what this is about. Pride is the only reason that will stop you from doing that. All right. Now, we're going to skip ahead to 1 Samuel chapter 13. Now, so they're about ready to go to war. The children of Israel are getting shaky, okay, because Samuel hasn't showed up. But now, mind you, this, you know, God ain't on your clock. God got his own clock. So Samuel has to get before God, and you stay before God until he releases you. That's a key for people that pray in the spirit. I learned that long time ago from Reverend Kenneth Hagin, bless his soul. Tell him I said hi, Lord. Stay before God until he releases you. You pray until released. You know, you don't get, well, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray in the spirit for however long, and after that, I'm gone. No, you know, God knows. All right. So we just skipped ahead. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 13, and this is talking about Saul, and he said he waited for 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offering, and Saul offered up the burnt offering, and just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him, and then Samuel asked him, said, what have you done? Asked Samuel. Saul replied, when I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and the Philistines were assembling in Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled. I wonder who compelled him, because it wasn't God. I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. You know, this phrase, something told me, listen, you need to compare that something. Well, now I ain't going to say that, you know. But if you know the word, you got to know that the something ain't God, okay? And in this case, what compelled him wasn't God. See, again, there's no neutral territory. There's no God's way, Satan's way, and your way. No, there's only God's way and Satan's way. That is the whole of life, and that is what you're supposed to be continually learning to do. And the only way you can know the difference is you have to know the Word of God. Now, Saul knew the Word. He had been taught. That was common back then. They were taught. Amen. Everybody didn't have a Bible. They believed what they were taught, and they were taught right. And I imagine that Nadab and Abihu wasn't the only ones that got smited, as their Bible call it, for not telling the whole truth as the truth. Because their situation, if you read the book of Numbers, you'll see some things happening when people got off with their mouth. I ain't going to say that. But God was, listen, they got to talking about the man of God back then like that. If God did now like he did back then, I bet you a whole lot of people would have they'd be shutting up. There was one time when God just opened up the earth, dropped 90,000 people straight down to hell. So just for mouthing off against the man of God, just running their mouth. Now, they ain't threw nothing at him, they ain't shot at him, they ain't did nothing. It's running off at the mouth. But what caused that? Pride, that arrogant behavior. I know. Listen, you got to be careful of that. And right now it's critical. When people die, you know, that comes across my mind. I'm like, how did you die that young? You know, how do you, I'm 70. You know, you don't earn a day. God gives you a day, but Satan, he knows the rules of the game. He knows what he can and cannot do. All right, so let me read the response. Verse 1 Samuel 13:13. You acted foolishly, Samuel said. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. Now, what eventually happened was Saul, after he got, before Saul died, God appointed another king, David. and that is, I want to get to the, how that happened. Because again, see, this is what Saul, see, what will happen with you, you can't, one of the things that motivate people to get caught up in pride is what people think. What people think. They not God. This is a, look at our world. What John talk about it in 1 John 2:16, he says, these things in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Bring you down every time. You look at, if you keep these scriptures in mind as you read through Facebook, as you read through the news, and you seeing these actors and all these folk, and they dying and suffering and all this, you will see this in play. And it's happening to them simply because they don't know the word of God. They don't know what they're dealing with. Listen, without the Holy Ghost, who has unlimited intelligence, you are no match for Satan or his demons, who have IQs around the range of in the thousand, at least 2,500. Smartest person last I heard had an IQ of 246. That's one-tenth of what it is. That's why they're able to be invisible. You can't turn invisible, even though they're working on some products to do that. All right, so let's go to the second event. Pride still ruling. You had already been told you've been kicked down. You would think after one time you'd straighten up, but, you know, this is what it says. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is how Saul wind up. All right, Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people. So listen now to this message. God has actually given him another chance. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites. Totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys. I know the first time I read that through my first journey through the Bible. But that, you probably heard that phrase, kill them all and let God sort them out. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. This is one of the things, I had this, anyway, in probably in every nationality, there's this group like, for instance, in Islam, I'm sure there's a lot. I know for a fact there are some undercover, underground Christians in, you know, they're walking around as though they're Islam. When they kneel five times a day, they're worshiping the Lord God, and they know who they worship. But they pray, amen, in the name of Jesus. They have, this is fact. This is going on, man. And God, and if you don't think God do undercover, when David, who actually ended up taking out the Amalekites, because Saul, let's read this. We read the order. Basically, Saul didn't do what he was told. Let's see here. Let's see if I can get this right quick, because clock is ticking. Okay. Now, all right, he gave the order to kill every man. Now, mind you, the Amalekites have been, they've been like, a lot of y'all young people don't know, they was like a bike gang, violent gang war, much like the Taliban. They were just cutting up, killing people, much like what's going on over there in the Middle East tonight. And matter of fact, if you do some research, you will find a link in their family link in their history. You know, same old mindset. And what drives them? Pride, because they don't fear God. That's you know, you got to reverence God. This is what this is about, because if you do that, next week we're going to talk about the benefits of putting pride aside and submitting to God, okay? All right, so we're going to drop down a few verses, and okay. Now, here he is. He done went to battle. He didn't attack the Amalekites. And This is what Saul telling Samuel what happened. Then Samuel picks up the conversation. It says, when Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleeding of the sheep in my ears? If you remember, God said to kill everything." He said, "What is this lowing of the cattle that I hear?" Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God." Lord, this is deep. Look at what he said. "They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest." Now he even kept the king alive. Okay. "Stop," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me." And Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, you did not become the head over the tribe of Israel. The Lord anointed you over the king of Israel." In other words, God raised him up. "And he sent you on a mission." He said, "Go and completely destroy my enemy, the wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war with them until you have wiped them out." Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce and plunder and do evil in the sight of the Lord? "But I did obey," Saul said. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me, and I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king." Remember the order. It said kill everybody. "The soldiers took the sheep from the plunder and the best of what was devoted to God." Listen, good ain't good unless it's God good. Okay? It ain't good unless it's God good. You know what I mean? I know somebody that once told me that they gave their tithe to the Salvation Army, but they belonged to a church. They really have was disgruntled with the church. Listen, that do what God say do, how he say do. And now it's going to be critical because, like I say, Satan taking people out, leaving family without fathers and mothers, taking children. When you get out of the will of God, you're opening the door to make it easier for Satan to attack you. And this is what happened. See, now I want to skip down and for verse 23, and you need to record this. It says, for rebellion, okay, verse 22. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as like the sin of divination or witchcraft, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry," because it's self-worship. "Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Y'all gonna see something. I'm giving you a prophetic word. You're gonna see some government. I expect to see a lot of governmental official changes in the near future before Biden leaves office. Because you got a lot of politicians that are not submissive to God. And the world is in judgment. This is why Corona is running around. You got a lot of Christian leaders that are not submissive to God. This is why churches are closing. And then that's heavily discouraging on people. How do you tell your congregation who have been contributing regularly, you know, you can't keep the church open because you didn't manage things properly because you wasn't getting before God? That's what it takes. Prayer in the personal life. You got to get before God. You got to stay before God. Quit going every day about your business. I got to get this done. No. You want the favor of God. Remember, when Saul had the right idea, seek the favor of God. But you can't make God favor you the way you want God to favor you. He has designed how favor operates. And that's the whole point of this. God is thinking about the relationship for a billion years. Not for a couple of months. Not till you get to heaven. Because, listen, Satan, you got to get the whole picture. You got to get the whole picture. You got to get the whole picture. See, true enough, Saul was king, but dude, you king of your life. How are you making your decisions? You know, I mean, right now it's challenging. See, you should be whittling down your debt. You got thousands of ships parked offshore. You why? Pride. You have company leaders that this was going on about their business, not realizing the earth is the Lord's, the world and they that dwell therein. It ain't yours. So now you got companies that thought they could just go on, treat people any old kind of way, and you got a new age. Just like we've advanced in technology, we have advanced spiritually, and there are people that work for these companies that go before God that are in right standing with God, and God will keep his word. God is going to give himself a pay raise, which means a lot of companies going, he's going to say, listen, that was written. What's an expectation? James chapter 5 verses 1 through 4. God is going to give himself a pay raise. He said that. You got to believe that, because God, like I said, God can't lie. What he said, that's what he does. So, let's begin with the first thing that you need to do to eliminate pride from ruling in your life, because pride is only what, not the only reason. Well, I can't think of another reason to stop people from coming to Christ. You know, every Sunday, you know, people have to come up before the altar. I mean, before come up to the front of the church as an open witness that they have decided to submit to Christ. Now, ain't nobody, ain't no haters. Listen, everybody in the church had to do that. You know, I tell people now, I got these cards where I have to pray of salvation. I said, if you pray this, you have to tell at least one person you prayed it, that you gave your life to Christ. And you will be surprised. I remember back in the day, it was a little challenging, you know, because you don't want the reaction. In my case, there would have been some negative reactions from some people that was fearful that I was going to snitch them out, but that didn't happen, and that wasn't going to happen. You know, I was too focused on what do I do now to be worried about what they was doing. But close the door to pride, and if nothing else, listen, it's just a funeral coming up this week. I'm debating on whether or not I'm going to go because I got my schedule is steadily growing. The young man is 17 years younger than me, one of my skating partners, not deceased, another victim of COVID from what I've been told, you know. You don't know. Dying ain't the problem. Dying and not going to heaven eternally with God is the problem. If Jesus don't come back, a lot of us going to leave. Leaving ain't the problem. Leaving without Jesus is the problem. He is the only Savior. Ain't nobody else offering no salvation. I haven't heard of another salvation plan. And look at how simple this is. Put your timer on and watch how quick this happens. If this is the first time, pray this. And if you're backslidden, pray this. Father God, I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die. I believe you sent him to die because we were all born in sin. Father God, we're asking right now that you forgive us for our sins. And Lord Jesus, we ask you to come into our hearts and to save us right now. And Father, I believe by your word, I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I believe I am saved. And I thank you for the offering of salvation. I thank you for receiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Look how quick that was. It took about 25 seconds, but you prevented having to spend eternity locked away from God. All right? Now, so just remember, go back if you're the first time. I have some YouTube videos, why God let the devil exist. It's something you might want to know, because he did let him exist. People want, you know, I like to look on people's faces like they want to, like, God didn't, but they can't say that. God did, but why? God is omniscient. That means he knows everything. That means he's the fullness of intelligence. If he did this for a reason, I tell you right now, because he made you, because he made me. And we need to learn how to be like him, and that's not an easy process. All right? So just remember that between now and then, prayer works by faith, faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. See you next week. And remember, don't let pride rule, because it's a fool.
Hallelujah. Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today.
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today.
Ooh. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful.
Today.
I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh, I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy down in my heart.